Well, anyway, it is a pleasure to have you here this morning on this early Sunday morning in December. And what we're going to do today is we're going to begin a new sermon series that we're entitling The Characters of Christmas. The Characters of Christmas. And what I'm going to do in this series is I'm simply going to look at three ordinary people. So people just like you and me, ordinary people. And these are people that God used to play a very significant part in the very, very first Christmas. Ordinary people. And here's my hope. My hope in this series is this, that as we take a closer look at these people, that we will learn some very valuable life lessons that can help us live a life that God can use. Okay? I want to ask you a question this morning as we begin. Do you desire to live a life, and please don't respond, this is between you and God. This is in your heart, it's in your mind. The question is this, do you have a desire to live a life that God can use? Think about that this morning. I really want you to think. Get engaged in your thought process here this morning. Do you really desire to live a life that God can use? The creator of the universe can use. Do you really desire to live a life where you impact other people for good, for Jesus? And I really want you to think about that, because that's the people I'm going to be speaking to this morning. The people that in their hearts, they wake up and they say, I want today to be different. Or there's people like me, sometimes you lay in bed at the end of the night or at the end of the day, and you think these thoughts, you're thinking, Lord, did my life make an impact today? Because I believe that God has placed that in our hearts, to be people that live outside of just our own wants, our own desires, our own needs. And I believe that God has placed it within your heart to be a person that impacts other people, to be a person that is used by the Creator God. I believe that God has deposited that in you. And if that's you today, you know that God's done that, because that's not human, that's divine. That God has placed that within your heart, that, yay, God, I want to make a difference. I want to be a game changer, okay? So as you're thinking about that, here's my big idea, because this is how we're going to start preaching. Big ideas. By the way, how'd you do with your big idea last week? How many people can remember the big idea for last week? And that is what? Thankful people are what? Everybody together, one, two, three. Thankful people are happy people. How did that work out for you this week, by the way? Anyone? Does anybody have a story? No, we won't go that way. But here's the deal. Thankful people are happy people. That's last week's big idea. Here's today's big idea. Write this down. It's on the screen. This is what I want you to leave this church with and remember all week, okay? And that is, a life of obedience is a life that God will use. I was going to put can use, but I believe it's more than that. He will use. A life of obedience is a life that God will use and God will bless. Let me say that again. A life of obedience. People who are obedient to God. People who are obedient to God's word. People who are obedient to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to their hearts. Those are the people that God will use, and those are the people that God will bless. And when I'm talking about blessing, I'm not only talking about you being blessed, I'm talking about others being blessed through you. And we're going to look at that this morning. So if you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. This is the book we're going to use in this Christmas season, the next three Sundays, including today. And we're going to look at chapter 1. And today, if you want to open up your Bibles, we're going to pick it up in verse 18 and look through verse 24. I want to let you know the Gospel of Matthew focuses on the birth of Jesus through the perspective of the father, Joseph. Whereas the book of Luke focuses on the birth of Jesus through the perspective of the mother, Mary. Okay? So we're going to look at the birth of Jesus for the next 3 weeks through the eyes of Joseph, through the eyes of the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at our first character today. So let's pick it up in verse 18. Can we do this morning? Can we stand for the reading of the word? We only have a few verses. Just stretch out. We're going to pick it up. It's on the screen, Matthew 1, 18. It says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant, check this out, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. Some translation says a righteous man. And he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. and she will have a son, and you're going to give your son this name, Jesus. And here's why, for he will save his people from their sins. How many people know Jesus came to fulfill our greatest need? Amen? And our greatest need is that it tells us in the book, in the Bible, that we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. The relationship with us and God was broken. It was a disaster beyond repair. And the only hope is not by good works, not by going to church. It's not all these things, but the only hope is through Jesus Christ. And everybody said, yay, Jesus. Amen? And it says, all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. And the prophet is Isaiah, who wrote these words thousands of years before this event took place. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son. And I love this. And they will call him, everybody together, Emmanuel. What does that mean, everybody together? God is with us. See, what we need to understand is that Jesus was with God from the very beginning, before creation. Read about that in Colossians. That Jesus existed with God before the world even came into being. And now, on Christmas, this first Christmas, God came to the earth in the form of a man like us, and he came and he dwelt among us. He became God with us. And it says, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary to be his wife. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is your absolute authority. It's infallible. It's flawless. It's perfect. It reveals you to us. And we just thank you, Lord, that your word never changes. It's relevant for us today. And Father, I pray a blessing on your word today. I just ask, God, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts that are soft, receptive. God, do what you desire to do in this place. And we just thank you, Lord. Lord, may these be special moments in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Verse 18. We see something very important, that we have these two characters, Mary, Joseph, young people. I've heard crazy different ages for Mary, all the way from like 13, 15, 16 years old, very young gal. And she's engaged to be married to this man named Joseph, okay? And there's a couple important things you need to know from history about this engagement, because it's different than engagement today, okay? First of all, this is what would happen. Two families would get together, and they would agree on the union. So it was an arranged marriage, okay? How many people think we should go back to those? So parents would get together, the parents of the guy, the parents of the girl, and they would talk and say, yeah, your daughter's a great gal. Your son sure is an outstanding young man in the community. Yeah, we agree that these two should get married. But it didn't stop there. What would happen is they would negotiate a price for the bride. So they were negotiating a price for the bride, and that price would be paid to the bride's father, okay? And I'm sure the bride's father said, hey, your son's getting a good gal, okay? And she is worth a lot of money. I know that's how it worked with Heather and I, okay? See, I didn't get married till I was 31, so I had gathered and accumulated a lot of money. I was wealthy. So when I had this conversation with my father-in-law, I just emptied my life savings and gave it all to him for the price of Heather. And I want to let you know, it was worth every penny. Amen? How about you guys? If you're sitting next to your wife, say amen. Is that right, Joe? Amen. Okay. So I would just think that, I would assume that these must have been very interesting conversations. I wonder if the guy ever said, you know, your daughter is really not worth that much, okay? We're doing you a big favor. Okay, none of that would happen in this room, because this room is filled with wonderful young ladies, okay? So next, they would make this public announcement. Everybody would hear through text messages, Facebook, social media, hey, did you hear that Mary and Joseph got engaged? It's awesome. And at this time, it was the couple would be called what they would refer to as pledged, much like engagement today, except that it was much more binding. They were, in that culture, they were much more into what we call covenant. When they made covenant, they were serious about covenant, because God is a covenant-keeping God, okay? So at this point, the couple, even though they weren't officially married, the only way that this relationship could be broken is through death or through divorce, okay? So they're in this engagement period, and you need to understand this period of engagement would last for about 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. Listen to this very carefully. During that 1 year, the couple would live separately with their parents. Okay, that's what culture teaches us. Separately with their parents. And what this waiting period would do, it would demonstrate the bride's purity. Okay? And if something happened during that 1 year that would say that bride was not pure, then the marriage would be annulled. It would be cut off. It would be over. Okay? But if everything went well and the bride remained pure, then it was at the end of that year that they would get married. So we need to understand there's this year. So in our story, Mary and Joseph, as we pick it up, they're in that 1 year period. They're in that engagement time. But it's during this period that something out of the ordinary happens. We read it every Christmas. We know what happened. But let's throw ourselves back into the first century, and let's throw ourselves back into the shoes of actually Joseph. This was actually happening to him. It was alive, okay? It was updated. And that is this. Joseph catches wind that his fiancée, Mary, is pregnant. Pregnant. We know that 2,000 years later, how that happened. We read about it. We're told that it was this divine act of the Holy Spirit, supernatural act of the Holy Spirit. But you need to understand that Joseph didn't know that. Joseph didn't pick up Matthew chapter 1 and read about his own life. It wasn't until years later that we have the scriptures. Joseph wouldn't have known until the dream, until sometime later. So let me ask you a question, all you guys who at one time, or maybe even now, you're engaged. So think about it. This question, this thought is for guys who have at one time been engaged. How do you think you would have responded if you discovered that your fiance was pregnant? Let's be real here this morning. Let's not be church nice. Let's be real, okay? What would you do if you found out that your fiance was pregnant and you knew for certain, because you've been living with mom and dad, and you didn't rendezvous at the backside of the desert, but you knew that you weren't the father? I don't know about you, but me and my father-in-law would have a conversation. But remember that check I gave you? Hey, how about a refund? Seriously, what would you do, guys? So many times we read the Bible, knowing all the information, and we just look over these real life factors, these real life situations. I don't know about you, but I would have to say that I would be heartbroken. I would be extremely disappointed. I might be angry, highly upset. I'm not sure what I would have done. So let's look back into the life of Joseph. How did Joseph respond to this challenge? Historians actually tell us that he had three options that he could choose between. Number one, he could go ahead and get married, okay? But this would be an admission of guilt in which he was not guilty of. So for him just to get married would be sending a signal to everybody in the community, yeah, they must have had this rendezvous moment. They must have both been involved in this. And for him to just kind of just go ahead with it would have been saying, yeah, I'm guilty. Number two, he could have asked for what they called back then a public divorce. And this would have exposed Mary to public disgrace, humiliation, shame, embarrassment. Joseph could have got really ugly about it and said, yeah, I'm going public with this, Mary. You broke my heart. You just messed everything up. I am going public with this, and I'm going to make you look like the bad one. I'm going to humiliate you. I'm going to embarrass you. That would have been the second option. Number three, he could have chosen the option of what they called back then a private divorce, where there would be two witnesses would come together and they would dismiss Mary quietly. Then Joseph could go and keep his reputation while still showing compassion for his previous fiance. Okay? So if you look back down to 19, if you still have your Bible open, look again to verse 19. What did Joseph do? Verse 19, he chose option number three, and that is that he chose to break the engagement quietly. Why? To Joseph, who was a righteous man, that's what the Bible says, he was a righteous person. To him, in his natural way of thinking, that was the good thing to do. That was the logical thing to do. You got to remember, he's in the middle of the fire. He's in the middle of this story. He's living out this story as one of the main characters. So he just wants to be a good person. He does the logical good thing. But here's what happens. After making announcements of what he's going to do, there's a change of plans. And the reason why there's a change of plans is one night when Joseph goes to bed, he has a dream. He has a dream from this angelic angel And the angel says, hey, Joseph, take Mary to be your wife. And here's what he says after that. Your baby, the baby that Mary has in her womb, that's not human passion. That's the result of the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but if I would have heard that, I would have been like, really? Are you kidding me? That's never happened before, okay? And not only that, this baby is going to be the baby that's a part of my redemptive plan for humanity. And that is that this baby is going to save people from their sins. That baby is going to be God coming down to earth in the form of a human being. He's going to be God with us. This is the plan of God. God is using you, Joseph. You're one of the big players in this story. I have something special I have for you and Mary. You're a big player in the story, okay? And I know this to me is called the news report of a lifetime. And it leads me to a question, and I want you to really get engaged because this story is very relevant to where we live today, and that is, how do you think you would have responded to the news? I would assume that none of us in this room have ever had an angelic visitor at night. If you had, I really want to hear about it. You've never had an angel come into your room and tell you some information that was totally radical, totally different than any information that's ever been shared before. So I want to let you know, Joseph is, he's not God, he's a human. He's faced with a choice here. He's faced with a choice. I got this pregnant fiance. People in the community are going to talk. But I've also had this visitor come up and show up in my bedroom and tell me this is the plan of God. I'm being used by God. So here he's faced. He's at a crossroads of decision. And he has to decide what's logical and what's really of God. I'm sure all these thoughts are going through his mind. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Okay? And look at what his response is in verse 24. It's on the screen. It says, when Joseph woke up, everybody say this next line together. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Stop. Let's say that again. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary to be his wife. He did. So Joseph obeyed God. Even though nothing like this had ever happened before, nothing like this has ever happened since, he obeyed God. And as a result, think of the results of this. Joseph would be used by God to raise the Savior of the world. Parents, can you imagine that? You're raising God in your house. Some of you think you're raising God in your house, but literally, think about this. You're raising Jesus in your house, the one who's going to save people from their sins. He's going to be the one that you change his diapers. He's going to be the one that you teach how his numbers, his alphabet. I mean, just think of this. This is a radical story. You're going to have this privilege, okay? So this is just an amazing story. But what we learn from this story is this. It's our big idea of this morning. And that is a life of obedience is a life that God will use. It's a life that God will bless. How many people would agree that God used Joseph? How many people would agree with me that God blessed Joseph? And as a result, we're all here today blessed because of his act of obedience. Amen? So let me say it again. I want you to write this down. You need to write this down. You need to put this on your refrigerator. You need to put this someplace where you see it all the time. And that is a life of obedience. When I choose to obey God, that's going to be a life that my God can use. That's going to be a life that my God can bless. And I want to share a story with you that I heard several years ago from a guy named George Wood. George Wood is he's our recently retired superintendent of the Assemblies of God. And he writes a story that I want to share with you this morning that's thousands of years removed from Mary and Joseph. He writes this. He says, in the early years of ministry, he talks about a guy named the late Philip Crouch. And we talk about how Philip and his wife Hazel, they served at a place called the Lillian Thrasher Orphanage in Egypt during the last years of Lillian's life. He tells the story that Lillian Thrasher, that's how you pronounce it, had broken her engagement with Tom Jordan in North Carolina 10 days before their wedding. And the reason why she broke the engagement is because she believed that God had placed a missionary call on her life. So just stop there and think about that. You're 10 days away from being married. You've sent out all the invitations. You purchased the dress. You've called the caterers. You got the location. You've done everything you need to do for this wedding. And 10 days before the wedding, for crying out loud, You feel like there's this call on your life, that God's calling you to do something. And that is that God has placed a missionary call on your life. I don't know about you, but I can feel for Lillian the pressure that must have been upon her life, the pressure she must have received from friends and her fiancé and their parents. Can you imagine the pressure? Should I get married as scheduled, or should I obey God's call to be a missionary? She decided to obey God. The story says 8 months later, she welcomed the first baby into her orphanage in Egypt. Listen to this, you guys. Over the next 51 years, about 10,000 children were raised in her home. And since her death, approximately another 10,000 children have called that orphanage their home. Think about that. Her obedience to God. As a result, over 20,000 kids who were homeless, who didn't have a mom and dad, didn't have nowhere to go, as a result of her obedience to God, God used her, God blessed her, to raise over 20,000 little kids so that they could have a home. The story continues. It says, knowing that she had never married, I asked Philip if he ever talked with Lillian about whether she regretted breaking the engagement to her fiancé, Tom. He said, as a matter of fact, I did. About a year before she died, I was talking with her one day and asked her the question, do you regret not marrying Tom? She became very, very quiet, and she finally said, if I would have married Tom, what would have happened to all those children? And somebody just say, wow. If I would have disobeyed and done my thing that seemed logical, that seemed reasonable, that it was scheduled, if I would have done that and disobeyed God, what would have happened to those 20,000 children? And I think that we would all agree that her life of obedience resulted in her being used by God and her being blessed in the way that it blessed thousands of people. Why? And we need to get this in our heart, you guys. A life of obedience is a life that God will use. So if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. And I would assume in the room this size today, there's probably about 20% of people that are just saying, yeah, that's me. I wake up, I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. Or there's people that say, I want to be blessed by God. More people went on that train, amen? I want to be blessed by God. I want to be blessed. I want to let you know the starting place for all that is obedience to God. Are you willing to obey God even when it doesn't make sense? Even when A plus B doesn't equal C? And you're thinking, wow, God, I think you missed it this time. But how many people know that a life that God will use, a life that God will bless, is a life of obedience? And I want you to take that home this morning, because I have a few questions for you this morning. And that is, what is it that God's calling you to do? Is there something in your life that God's calling you to respond to in obedience? I want everybody to look at me. I only have 5 more minutes. I'm going to give you my best for 5 minutes. Is everybody ready? This is where you're going to get engaged with this message. What is God calling you to? What is God calling you to be obedient to? It may be God's calling you to forgive somebody. Somebody that's hurt you. Somebody that's done you wrong. Somebody that's made your life difficult. And you read in Scripture where Jesus talks about we need to be willing to forgive, even if it's 70 times 7, endless amounts of time. And you're thinking, God, I don't want to forgive. I want them to hurt. I want to punish them. I want them to feel the pain that I feel. I'm not going to forgive. But God, Jesus says, hey, I'm telling you, I'm commanding you to forgive. How many people know that step of forgiveness is obedience? And it will lead to God using you and blessing your life. How about maybe God's calling you to love somebody? Jesus goes as far as saying, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love that dirty dog. Love that enemy. You're saying, no, God, I'm not going to love that enemy. I'm going to show them pain. I'm going to hurt them. But I want to let you know the step of obedience in the word is what? Love people. Love our enemies. Love those who persecute you. Pray for those people. Maybe there's a sinful lifestyle that you're currently engaged in. And you know, I don't need to stand up here and talk about it. You know, because you've read your Bible. You know, because the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart. And you know there's some sinful lifestyle that you're engaged in. And I believe that God's calling people out of those sinful lifestyles. He's calling people unto himself in intimacy, in fellowship, in communion. And he wants to be with you. But you've got to make a decision. And here's your decision. God, will I do it my way because it really feels good? And by the way, everybody else is doing it this way. Or will I stand up and will I obey God, and will I pull myself out of that sinful lifestyle and into God's presence? What is it that God's calling you to do? I have just a few more examples. Maybe you're so stinking busy right now, and God's just saying, hey, I want you to step away from this busy lifestyle so you can spend more time with people, family, with me. What is it that God's calling you to do? I believe there's people in this room right now that you have this intense desire to give everything to God, but you're struggling. There's things that you're holding on to, and I believe God's saying, hey, this is the time where I want you to give your entire life to me. Will you trust me enough to throw everything into me? Will you trust me enough to just surrender every area? What is it that God's calling you to? I believe that God's speaking. I believe God's speaking in these moments. I believe the Holy Spirit's at work in this room this morning. There's things that God is speaking to your heart, and you have a choice. Will you do it your way, or will you do it God's way and obey? Your way, you'll get your results. If you do it God's way, you'll get His results. How many people today want God's results? We all do. We all do. So what is it that God's calling you to do? What is God calling you to do that might even seem so trite, so small, so simple? For me, one of the things that was God called me to do recently is it involved this device here. And on my phone, one of my apps, my favorite app, was the ESPN app. Come on now. And I want to let you know I'm not speaking to anybody else but myself. And I love when I was in conversations, even with the people I love most, I found myself hitting the ESPN app because for some reason, I thought I needed to know every ball score. For some reason, I needed to know if the Detroit Pistons won last night and how many points did Luke Kennard have last night. I wanted to know, did the Milwaukee Bucks win last night and how many did Giannis, did he have a double-double last night? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So this is what happened. I believe God spoke to my heart. It wasn't an audible voice, but I believe that God just spoke to my heart and He said, Mike, erase that app for a while. It's been killing me. Erase that app for a while because it's almost beginning to control your life. It's pulling you away from meaningful conversations. Does anybody have a clue what I'm talking about? So what I did, and it hurt. I held on down to that app and the X came up and I X'd it out. And said, okay, God, we're ESPN free for a while. How long? But you know what? It's nothing against sports. I love sports. And this isn't you, this is me. So everybody get that right. Say, this is you, not me. Everybody together, this is you, not me. But I just believe that God was calling me to obey. It was something that simple. God was calling me to obey. It was almost like God saying, I want you to give me that room. Give me that room that's being taken by something else right now. Give me that room so that I can have more of you. I think next might be the weather app. Because I want to tell you what the forecast is going to be Tuesday. It's not going to be 50 Tuesday. We're going to hit 20, okay? And I like to tell people, hey, have you seen the weather? But I just think God's saying, what is it for you? Listen, I want everybody to think about you. Forget me. Because this is really nothing about me at all. It's about Jesus, amen? And what is it in your life that God's saying, you know what? You need to obey me in this area. And I want to let you know, I wrote it down, if you choose to obey, it won't be easy. I can't tell you how many times I've asked Nolan and Grant, hey, what time's that? Did Luke play last night? It won't be easy, but in the long run, you'll be glad you obeyed. I want to close today with a quote. One of my favorite people, Joyce Meyer, she says this, obedience to God is the pathway to the life you really want to live. Isn't that good? Let's all read that together. Obedience to God is the pathway to the life you really want to live. We all desire this wonderful life. I want to let you know the wonderful life is in Him. And Rosie, if you can come and help me just by playing softly this morning. Folks, write it down. An obedient life is a life that God can use. It's a life that God can bless. And I want to let you know God wants to bless you. God wants to pour forth His goodness. He wants to use you for His glory, for His name. So here I want to close this morning with this question. What's the key to obedience? Because obedience in itself is not the key. I want you to listen to me for 2 minutes and we'll be done. Obedience, there's something bigger that lies beneath obedience. Does anybody know what it is? Trust is good. What's that? Surrender is really good. We're going to talk about that a little next week. Everybody say love. Everybody together. Love. Jesus, who knew a lot, he was God. He was the Word. Let's look at the next verse. Jesus said this in John. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Bigger than obedience, in the root system of obedience, is love. Jesus says, if you love me, more than anything else, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Listen carefully. I used to think of that. I used to read that verse like this. If you love me, you obey and prove how much you really love me. It's almost like Jesus saying, if you love me, prove it. But I think I've matured a little through the years, and I realize what Jesus is saying is simply this, that when we love him, we begin to obey him out of the flow of a relationship. Are you hearing me this morning? I pretty much grew up in a healthy home. My parents weren't perfect by any measure. None of us are. But with me and my parents, discipline was never an issue because I don't know what it is, but I really loved and admired my parents. And I was always afraid to disappoint them. I had this relationship that I wanted to please them. And you know what? When I was faced with issues of to go right or to go left or to go in a way that they didn't want me to go, I would choose what they did because, you know what? I loved them. I wanted to please them. I wanted to honor them. And that's what this scripture is saying, is when we love Jesus, what do we want to do when we have a relationship with Jesus? What do we want to do? We want to please him. We want to make the right choices. We want to make the right decisions. And for me to just say, hey, go out and obey, that's not enough. The greater issue here is, God, help us to be people who love you. Are you hearing me this morning? So we're going to bow our heads this morning. I'm going to pray. And in my prayer today is I'm going to pray for me. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for you. And my prayer is not going to be, Lord, help us to obey, even if it kills us. My prayer today is going to be this. Lord, help our love for you to be growing. Help it to be vibrant. Help it not just to be hanging on and surviving, but help our love to be thriving and growing and getting greater and greater. Is everybody with me? Say amen. So, Father, we come to you on this first Sunday in the month of December. As we look at this Christmas story, we see the radical steps of a young man who obeyed you when it didn't even make sense, when it wasn't logical, when it wasn't something that was ever even heard of before, he obeyed. And Lord, I believe it comes back because the scripture says that Joseph was a righteous man, that he was a man that had a heart after you. He was a man that loved you. So, Lord, I just ask, God, right now that you do something great in this room this morning, and that is, God, that you would help us to be people that our love for God, our love for Jesus, is a love that's not dying, that's not cold. But I pray that we would have a love in this room, that we would be people who love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. God, that we love you more than we love the Steelers. God, that we love you more than we love good food. God, we love you more than all these things, that our love for you, that God, that you would just capture and captivate our hearts. God, would you come into this room and begin to just capture people's hearts? And Lord, would we be people that are just, our love for you is growing. It's growing. It's growing. And Lord, as our love for you grows, that we'll find it easier when faced with temptation, when faced with choices, we'll find it that it will be easier, that we'll say yes to your will, to your way, to what you want. And then as a result, we'll be used by you, God. And as a result, you'll be able to bless us, Lord, so that we can bless other people. So Lord, I just pray that you begin to do something supernatural in our hearts. Amen. I believe that God works through prayer. How about you? I want to pray, God, may our love for you be growing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.